Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Thursday edition of the program, live and underway here on the Big X. Don't forget we do this show each weekday at 11, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective, and another busy show. Let's take a look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one all week long. This segment all week we've had someone to do with the sectional basketball tournaments going on. It's just a special week in our state. The boys' state tournament has begun. The games should get better as we go. And, of course, we know that in future weeks we've got the regional, the semi-state, followed by the state championships. And so we're highlighting a lot of coaches and even some players here locally over the next few weeks as the tournament really gets underway to the latter stages. And in this first segment today, coming up here in just a few moments, Hayden Casey, the coach of Christian Academy, will join me. His team had a really big win, a nice win over Rock Creek on Tuesday night to start off tournament play, and we'll recap that and look ahead to the semifinal round of games on Friday for his sectional, which is the local 1A sectional out at Borden High School. We'll do that in the opening segment. Later in the show, it's Thursday, so Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with me. We'll talk some IU basketball. I know for some, it's a tough topic right now. This Hoosier team having its struggles looks very unlikely, unless they make a deep run and likely win the Big Ten Conference Tournament, that they're going to find a way to the NCAA tournament this year. Obviously, there's going to be plenty of offseason fodder. What happens with Trace Jackson Davis? What happens with Archie Miller? Is his buyout something that Indiana will entertain? Will he make it another year because of the buyout? Do Indiana's administration agree with what a lot of the fans think right now, that there is a serious problem and there needs to be a change? I think it's going to be, no matter what happens with this team the rest of the way, a very interesting offseason. So we'll touch on all of that this season, what the offseason could look like for Indiana, and more with Alex when he joins me. And then later in the program today on this Thursday show, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com stops by for an offseason IU football update. That is something positive. Indiana fans excited about football. It's never too early to start taking a look at some of the offseason storylines, and we'll get into some of that today with Matt when he joins us later in the show. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get right to our first guest today, Hayden Casey of Christian Academy. He's in year one as the coach there, replacing Steve Kerberg. And Coach Casey, what a victory for you on Tuesday night. It's a rivalry game to start off 1A sectional play out at Borden, and you got the best of Rock Creek 62-49, and your team is headed on in tournament play.
Yeah, and it was an exciting one for us too, Matt, so we'll take that one. To be honest, it's always nice to end a rival season, so we enjoyed that one and obviously got to enjoy it for a little bit that night. And yesterday when we come back to practice, though, it was moving on to Borden. That sectional week, you got to shift your focus pretty quick if you're fortunate enough to advance. So to get another shot at Borden, is something we're excited about. And with a great team that they have, it'll take a good effort like it took on Tuesday. But I'm excited to see how our guys step up to the challenge.
Coach, the other night you guys were led by Brady Dunn. He had 24 points. You had a couple guys in double figures. But what a big performance from him to start the postseason.
Well, that's one kid. This is my eighth year at Christian Academy, first year as the head varsity coach, obviously, but in my time here. And Brady Dunn is one of the best kids I've been able to be around, both on and off the court. So for him to perform like he did, one, it's something we expect. I think I'm biased, obviously, but I think he's the best player in our sectional. And for him to go out and perform like he did says a lot about the work he's put in all year and going back to last offseason, the work he puts in on his own. But that is something we expect from Brady and something we'll need going forward. But certainly a great performance from him, especially in the fourth quarter, stepping up and hitting the clutch free throws he did with how often Rock Creek sent him to the line. So just a complete player, and I was happy with the way he played and excited for that performance.
We're starting off the show today talking about the 1A sectional at Borden with Christian Academy coach Hayden Casey. And, Coach, I know that your team has played a fairly tough schedule as well, but one thing about Rock Creek that made him so dangerous, they were able to get 12 wins in the regular season, and they really took on all comers. Coach Brown had lined up an extremely difficult schedule for the Lions this season. And I think a lot of people thought, including myself, that Rock Creek might be the best challenger, the sleeper in that sectional to possibly could compete, maybe knock off Lanesville if it worked out in the championship game. So for your team to open tournament play, not just a win over a rival, but a win over a team that some thought could be the sleeper team in that sectional, puts you guys in a good position with a lot of momentum.
Yeah, and that's something. Thinking of our season, too, with the schedule we know we had going start of the year and what was ahead of us, start off playing 500 ball, I think we're 6-6 after 12 games, and then obviously hit a stretch where things didn't go our way. I think 8 of 9 or 10 of 11, it was a tough little stretch. But I give all the credit to our guys because the message all year was it's for March, you know. And for our guys to respond like they did Tuesday after the stretch we've been on and realize that it is all for March. March, like Coach Kerper would preach in my 7 years with him, March is a new season. Everybody's 0-0, and as cliche as that is, you know, we're fortunate enough to be 1-0 in that new season now with a great win over Rock Creek and have a chance to play again on Friday. So that's something we're very fortunate to say.
Talking to Hayden Casey, coach of Christian Academy, what do you like about this team? I know every coach this time of year is pumping their team up, encouraging their team, talking positive about their team to the media. But what about this group gives you hope this weekend you can win not only Friday, but maybe the whole thing?
Yeah, well, it does start with Brady Dunn and our point guard, Caleb Doss. The contributions they make to our team can't be understated, especially when they are playing at their best like they did on Tuesday. And even though the stretch we were on late in the year, I think they were playing some of their best ball, and I'm glad it was able to show on Tuesday. But one of the things I was happiest with about versus Rock Creek was the way some of our role guys stepped up, not only on the offensive end, but on the defensive end as well, and executing the game plan and buying in and being the tougher team. Guys like Miles Morgan, a junior for us, he stepped up for the offensive end. He's a stretch big for us. He's gotten great this year with some post moves, but can also – he's a consistent outside shooter for us. And he did great on Rock Creek's bigs on Tuesday. And on the defensive end, we have a sophomore by the name of Caleb Roy, who's just an absolute pleasure to watch play with how hard he plays and gets after it. Freshman Nate Doss played solid on Tuesday. And then Nathan Witten, a junior for us, came off the bench and played his best game of the year. So – I pulled him aside when the seconds were winding down before he got subbed out, and I thanked him for picking the best night to have his best game of the year. So those guys stepping up the way they did, I mean, that's what I'm most excited about. And I told them before the game, you know, whether we win or lose, you know, don't come back in the locker room and look back and say you didn't embrace the moment. You know, don't shy away from those big-time moments. And we always tell them, when the lights come on, the stars come out kind of deal. So sectionals kind of show that and show who's putting the work and who's ready to do things the right way. And thankfully our guys were on Tuesday, and I was just ecstatic that all their work paid off in a sectional win, and we're still playing.
Talking with Hayden Casey, the coach at Christian Academy, they move on in the 1A sectional at Borden. And I know this has come up maybe in our preview show that we do to start the year. I can't remember specifically, but for those that don't know, you know, you've been, as you said, at Christian Academy for a number of years, now the head coach in season number one as the boss, but you're from Borden. You went to high school at Borden. You know Doc Nash, the longtime coach there, very well, and so I can only imagine the memories and the feeling you have taking your team, this is now your program, back to your school, your alma mater, to play. And I know it's different this year with pandemic and fans and limited attendance, but going back there to play postseason has to be special. And I can't imagine on Friday going against your former school and a guy that means a lot to you and Coach Nash.
It certainly is always a great feeling walking back into Borden and how much I love that school and the program Coach Nash has built there. And, you know, I've said it before, Boss will say it as many times as needed. I can't say enough about Coach Nash and all he's done for me and continues to do for me and being a friend and that I can turn to and talk about coaching and just anything I need. And I just think, too, how much of an impact he's had on my coaching that he doesn't even know about. But I was talking to him after the sectional meeting we had last week and got to hang around and talk to him for about half an hour or so. And, again, just thanked him, but let him know also just the little things, too, he doesn't even know about. For instance, when we were picking out our coaches' gear before the season, I turned to our assistants and I'm like, I want the mid-zip pullover, you know, like Coach Nash wears that, you know. And I was telling him, you know, when I'm calling out the offense, you know, I'm clapping my hands and putting the slack. That's what I've seen him, you know, do for years kind of deal. It's just amazing the impact he's kind of had on my coaching without even really knowing about it and just what he's done for me. And I just really look up to him and admire him as a coach and try to emulate him in a lot of what we do here. And yeah, it will be exciting. It will hit me, I'm sure, on Friday when the ball's tipped and we're going. And then I look down after a couple possessions. I'm like, oh, man, there's Coach Nash in a sectional semifinal game. The trip to the championship on the line. It will be a pretty cool feeling, but I'm excited for it.
Absolutely. Hayden Casey, Christian Academy, his team with a big win over Rock Creek on Tuesday. Now they'll move to the semifinal game and take on host Borden. It will be the first of two semifinal games on Friday at Borden, which that's one of my favorite places to be sectional week. It's a great environment, great host of things. Toby Cheatham does a great job. And Hayden, best of luck to you and your ball club this week.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you for all the coverage you've been giving our schools, especially this tournament time. You do a great job, and I appreciate you.
Absolutely, Coach. Thanks for being with us today. And we'll continue on in this opening segment with a couple of Zaxby's headlines. There was some sectional basketball last night because it's a seven-team format up at Charlestown. In the first game, Madison absolutely handled Salem to move on to the semifinals on Friday. In the second game, I thought Charlestown was going to get a victory, a pretty evenly matched game between the Pirates and Scottsburg, but Scottsburg made a late rally, and so the semifinals at Charlestown on Friday, obviously Silver Creek North Harrison is the big one. There's no question about that. That's a game that everybody will be paying attention to, that score, as the night moves on. The second semifinal will be Madison against Scottsburg up at Charlestown on Friday. Also, from an IU note, you know, this talk about a buyout for Archie Miller. I know that the season is still going, and I try to quell at times the conversation we have about that, but it's so dominant, the feedback we get from you guys, that it's what you want to talk about. What's going to happen with Archie Miller at the end of this season? And nobody exactly knows where this thing is headed this year or perhaps even next year. But the buyout, $10.5 million this year, and that goes down, I believe, to $3.5 million after the next season. Somebody from the Star-Telegram down in Fort Worth, Texas, I believe is where that paper is originated from, spoke with Mark Cuban via email. They just sent him an email, wanted his thoughts on Archie Miller. And the story was based on the fact that the next IU coach, if Archie Miller was to be let go, could come from Texas. It could be Scott Drew from Baylor. We saw Pat Forty have a really interesting column about why he thinks he is fit to be the next coach at Indiana. And other people have had rumblings about Chris Beard. And I know we maybe get way ahead of ourselves on thinking about who the next coach would be. Archie Miller is still the head coach at Indiana. We have no idea if anything's going to happen with him this year, next year, or otherwise. But that was the gist of the story, that the next IU coach, if there was an opening, could come from the state of Texas. And so why not talk to Mark Cuban, an IU alumni, a guy that has a lot of money, and get his thoughts on it. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he was very he tried to quell the conversation about Archie Miller himself. In fact, here's a quote that I've got in front of me. He said, quote, "Let me tell you about IU fans. What I love most is that every single one of us is a coach. They know basketball better than any coach IU has ever had." He said in his email, he said, as a result, when there is a bad game, I get emails from Hoosiers telling me I should buy out the coach because they would have a run a better side. They would have run a better out of bounds side. Let me get that straight. They would have run a better side out of bounds play than insert the coach's name here. He said this has been going on for almost 20 years. He went on to say he supports Archie Miller. He wants the best for him, and no, he will not be buying out his contract. So for fans on social media and for all the crazy messages that I get about what's going to happen with Archie Miller, no, the thought of Mark Cuban being the savior coming in and paying the debt to relieve IU of Archie Miller's contract doesn't sound like it's going to happen, at least right now. Also, as we head to break, one final note, a little future basketball last night. If you keep track of Southern Indiana hoops, the Clark Floyd Tournament Championship games were last night for 7th and 8th grade. I think it's always interesting to see who is winning those tournaments and how in the future maybe that translates to success at the JV or the varsity level. And Jeffersonville had a sweep last night. The Parkview Middle School 7th graders won that 7th grade tournament over Silver Creek. And in 8th grade, River Valley, also a feeder school to Jeffersonville, they defeated Scribner, a feeder school to New Albany, in the 8th grade championship game. So the future could be really bright for Jeffersonville. I understand there's some great 8th and 7th graders in those middle school programs that down the road very likely could be Jeffersonville Red Devils. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Alex Bozich. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We always talk IU basketball in this segment on Thursdays. And Alex, the struggle for Archie Miller and the team continue. And there were some glaring things, I think, that stood out in the contest against Michigan State on Tuesday. So I'm curious your thoughts on that game and also your thoughts on where fans are at right now. We know there's lots of unhappiness with the program, but have fans checked out at this point? Will they be paying attention when Indiana plays their rival on Saturday, Purdue? Will they be paying attention in the Big Ten tournament at the level that IU fans, who normally are very engulfed in everything, recruiting, off-season, coaches, anything that happens with this team, Indiana's fans are right there wanting to know everything they can. But what do you think about the team right now, and what do you think about fans as far as are they even engaged still?
Well, Matt, I don't think we have 35 minutes here because I think you got another guest after me. So I won't I'll let you ask another question beyond this, but I feel like I could take up the whole segment talking about this. I'll start with the Michigan State game. Went about, I would say, as expected. You know, we see these games over and over where Indiana just doesn't do quite enough to get over the hump. They were in the game for a good part of the second half, and then really down the stretch, that Al Durham air ball three, I thought was really kind of a back-breaking play. They really needed him to at least hit the backboard or draw iron, and he airballed that three in a crucial time. I think that was really kind of the end of that. They play good enough in most games to not lose badly, but they don't do enough to win and get over the hump. So it's basically, we've seen the story before, and until it changes, we're going to kind of continue to expect the same thing. In terms of the fan base, that's a pretty complex, kind of loaded question, but I would say for the most part, people are in one of two categories. They're either checked out. I would put some in the category of apathetic. I've had people on our forum, and that's really the diehards, the people that are on our board. There's been a lot of comments. People just DVR the game and wait and see what happens afterwards before they decide they're going to invest the time to watch it. To me, that falls in the category of apathy and not really caring. And then you have your other segment of people who are
angry, mad, whatever you want to. There's different levels of it. But, I mean, there's been a noticeable shift over the last couple weeks. You know, really, I think when Indiana was 13-9 after that Minnesota game, I think most people thought they were going to make the tournament. They really just had to win a couple more games. Now they've dropped. They weren't 13. They were 12-9, I think. So, yeah, because they're 12-13 overall. But, you know, they after that loss the other night, I mean, that was basically, I don't want to say an elimination game because obviously there's still the Big Ten tournament and things can happen. But at the same time, it's tough to see any positives right now. And so there's a lot of people who are angry right now and want a change. So, you know, I really don't know what's going to happen from this point on. I don't know if you watched the other night, the post-game stuff, the press conferences, I thought for the first time, really, Archie Miller seemed very irked in the post-game press conference. He only talked for a little less than 4 minutes. There was a couple questions that he clearly didn't like. And to me, it looked like the first time where he outwardly expressed some frustration in terms of just kind of how things are going, which obviously is easy to understand why that would be, because they've now lost 4 straight games and they're probably not going to make the tournament here once again. But yeah, it's not a good atmosphere, I would say, in terms of the fan base right now. There's a lot of people who are, like I said, they've either checked out or they're angry or a combination of both. And really, as I was talking to somebody a little bit this morning before we talked to you, Matt, really the only thing that can change anything at this point is to win. Everything else is just noise and speculation.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall. Our guest, let's take a look at this team heading into Purdue. I think even a win over Purdue would be in the positive direction. It's not going to take care of all the problems that are out there at this point, and it's not going to make Indiana become all of a sudden tournament eligible for the NCAA tournament. But it's something that has not happened in the Archie Miller years at Indiana so far. And you've got a player like Al Durham that, if Indiana does not win Saturday at Purdue, he will have graduated from the program. It appears he's on his way out as a senior, will not take advantage of an extra year of eligibility because of the COVID-19 pandemic. He could leave the program with never beating the rival Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, someday going to probably be a trivia question that you don't want to be a part of if they lose. I mean, he's going to be one of the – I don't know if that's happened with a four-year player or someone that's played their whole eligibility at IU with not beating Purdue. That's not a category that you want to be a part of, but it's a real possibility. I mean, you look at Purdue right now, and I was, before we got on here, Matt, I was finishing up my preview for the game on Saturday, and you just look at where these two programs were, like in late December, early January, and they were pretty much at the same spot in terms of the record and kind of the trajectory of the season. And they've taken completely different paths. I mean, Indiana has kind of bottomed out here. In many ways, they peaked at the right at the conclusion of the non-conference schedule. They were 5-2. They beat Butler, I think. People felt pretty good that the season was going to end in the NCAA tournament appearance. And Purdue, after they lost a game at Illinois, I think they were 7-5 at that point. And now they've won something like 10 of their last 13 games. I think they've won 4 in a row. They just beat Wisconsin at home. And they don't have – it's not like this roster that they have is full of 5-star players or guys that are going to go on and have major NBA careers, but what they do have is an understanding and a cohesiveness about what they're doing on a game-to-game basis. They play as a team, they're connected, and they've gotten better as the season rolls along. I don't think you can say the same about Indiana. They haven't improved as the season has moved along, and that's the difference. I mean, Purdue had some adversity earlier in the season. They responded to it. They got better. Indiana started out pretty well, but then once the adversity hit, you know, they were able to weather the storm on a couple occasions. They had some of those nice bounce back wins. The wins over Iowa were great, but now at the most critical juncture of the season, Indiana has been unable to kind of rebound from these losses. And now it feels like it's kind of an avalanche that's coming down, and I don't really foresee it stopping, barring some unforeseen turnaround that is hard to predict at this point.
And Alex, as we're talking, I see Joe Lunardi, who you could debate his accuracy on the bracketology stuff, but I see that he no longer has mm-hmm. Indiana in the first four out as well. So Indiana, I'm assuming, has slipped
yeah.
even further. Big Ten Tournament Championship, is that the only legitimate path to an NCAA tournament appearance for this team? And, boy, that is a tough task when you look at the bracket.
Well, if they beat Purdue, obviously a huge if because Archie Miller's never done it, they'd be 13-13. I think at that point they'd have to go to the Big Ten Tournament Final. That would put them at 16-13 going to the final. If they lost, they'd be 16-14. There's still a path, I think, at that point. There's really been no and that would require them winning four straight games for this point, Matt, which is something they haven't done all year. So if they were to do that, I think they're probably in at that point. But, you know, if they lose to Purdue, they're going to have to win the Big Ten tournament to get in, I think. And, I mean, Indiana's never won the Big Ten tournament, so it's hard to foresee that happening. I don't know where the season ends. If they win a couple games, they're probably going to go to the NIT, which nobody's going to care about. That's, I think, supposed to be in Texas, 16 teams. It's not going to be based on the usual requirements for the NIT. They're going to take the best 16 teams. So I would think Indiana's going to be in that mix if they win another game or two. So it's almost to a point where I would think that it'd be better off for them just to not play at all than to play in the NIT, because I think for the fan base, that would just make people even more angry.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, my guest. Let's talk about the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament. Illinois has mm-hmm. been hot here recently. I've seen them projected as a number one seed. Ohio State with a couple losses now, maybe a two seed, possibly a three seed. But Michigan still up there as a one seed as well. Could this be the year that the Big Ten overall – we know they're going to get a lot of teams in the tournament, but could this be the year where they actually have a strong showing in the NCAA?
I think so. I mean, I think Gonzaga is the best team, but I don't think they're unbeatable, like some have suggested. I think there's, you know, if I'm looking at the Big Ten right now, I think there's two teams that I would really – feel good about making a somewhat deep run. Michigan's one of them. I know they played poorly the other night against Illinois, but you know, for the most part, they've been reliable the whole season. I think they've got a really good team. I think Juwan Howard's done a great job, and Illinois is the other one that I really like. That assumes that Io gets back at some point. Illinois kind of rolled the dice a little bit here with keeping him out, and it's paid off because they keep winning. That kind of speaks to the depth, I think, of their guard play. I mean, Trent Frazier is obviously an experienced guy, really good, but Andre Cabello, a freshman that comes off the bench, has been excellent. And Adam Miller, another guard they have. And having Kofi in the paint, he's a game changer, as you've seen this year when they play Indiana. They play other teams with good big guys. He's able to be a neutralizer because he's just a really big guy, and he can affect shots. When he's not blocking your shot, he's at least making you think about the fact that he can block your shot. So those are two teams that I look at that I wouldn't want to play in the tournament. They've been battle-tested. They've won a lot of tough games. They both have good big men. They both have elite guard play, and I think both of their coaches have done a really good job. So, you know, this is going to be a tough year, I think, for anyone not named Gonzaga and Baylor maybe to win the tournament. But, you know, if I was going to pick somebody else other than one of those two, I think I would go with Illinois or Michigan. They've been really good all season. I think they got great chances to make deep runs.
And just thinking about the tournament, the Zags, are they your pick to win it at this point?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the favorite usually doesn't win, but they've just got so many weapons that it's hard to pick against them. The one thing I will say is they've not really played anybody in their conference. That's not their fault. They've still had a tremendous season. But if you're asking me right now if I'd take Gonzaga or the field, I'd take the field. But if I, you know, if I was going to pick like a list of, you know, 3 to 4 teams I think the champion will come from, for sure, I think Gonzaga would be on the list. But anything can happen in the tournament. I think it's going to be a little bit different this year with it all being played in Indianapolis. And the atmospheres are going to be different. You just don't know how teams are going to respond. And it's tough for anybody to win 6 straight games. Gonzaga hasn't lost this season. I think that's still true, Matt. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them going into the tournament to stay unbeaten. And all it takes is, you know, you run up against the wrong opponent on the in one instance, and all of a sudden you're out. So there's a reason that a team hasn't gone undefeated and won it all since 1976. It's simply that it's really hard to do. But, you know, they got to be the favorite going in, but I think it's going to be a wild and unpredictable tournament.
Alex, as we close out today, I want to take a question from a listener that was sent in on our Facebook page. Ask Alex, will the downtrod of this IU team hurt recruiting in the offseason? And I think the obvious answer is when a program isn't doing well and when a coach and his future is being talked about so publicly, that yes, it could affect things. But to take that question to the next level, Alex, before you answer, it's going to be a very active offseason with transfers as well, and I think Indiana very likely could be in the transfer market this offseason to add some players, with only having Logan Duncombe in the 2021 class coming in. But how could this chatter of Archie Miller's future affect things, whether it be transfers coming in or recruits coming from high school?
It's not going to be good for recruiting. You know, the one thing I will say is that I don't think necessarily that, you know, there's not going to be a couple guys who are at least willing to come to Indiana, because there's going to be opportunity to play on a big stage, and there's going to be opportunity to take on a big role, because Indiana needs talent upgrades. But there's going to be coaches, and there's going to be other, you know, schools that are going to use the headlines that are going to inevitably be. I mean, you've already seen it with, you know, Pete Thamel's written something, Jeff Borzello and ESPN's had something kind of about hot seat type stuff. I mean, it's already starting, and we haven't even gotten to the Purdue game, and we haven't gotten to the Big Ten tournament. If they, you know, lose these next two games and the season's over at that point, it's going to get, you know, you think it's loud right now, it's going to get a lot worse. So, you know, it'd be naive to think that it's not going to play some type of factor. Can it be overcome, and can they still get some guys? I think they probably will be able to, because it's basically going to be free agency in college basketball, and there's going to be players who are willing to go and leave their programs for a chance at a higher level. But at the same time, you know, I just don't know if they're going to be able to land the impactful guys that they're going to need next season to turn this around.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with Matt Weaver, a little IU football next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back to our Thursday program. A little something positive, a little IU football in this segment with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. He is our go-to guy for all things on the Hoosier gridiron. And Matt, it's smack dab in the middle of the offseason. I know things are fairly slow in football and for this Indiana program right now, but there continues to be excitement from fans. And I've got to bring this up as basketball falters down the stretch and an NCAA tournament appearance looks unlikely, more and more people make the comment to me out and about that we're ready for IU football season.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal to hear that statement, because obviously that's not been the case for most of my life and for most of the time Indiana's been playing sports. So, but it's great to hear that, and obviously Indiana fans want IU to do good and everything, and basketball is a big part of that. But it's nice that the football program is on the upswing and has put together a couple good seasons, back to back January 1st bowl games, and hopefully they can keep that momentum going and this fall.
No question about it, Matt. Recruiting, and really not much to report or talk about right now from a recruiting standpoint with IU football, but I want to talk about recruiting in general, and this is not just football. This would include basketball as well. We're approaching a long time that football recruits, potential recruits, have not been allowed to make visits to Division I campuses, and that coaches have been really hindered on what they can do as far as going out to evaluate prospects. We talk probably more about this on this show with basketball than we do football, but can you speak on how long this has been going on and how this is really going to affect schools' ability, maybe not to find those top-tier guys? I'm not sure that I feel this shutdown of recruiting is going to affect Alabama or maybe many Division I programs at the upper level, but to find maybe the mid-major player or the guy that's having a breakthrough year that just needs a little extra evaluation and a little boost to get his name out there, those things have really become tough to come by, and you got to wonder how recruiting across the board, not just with Indiana, but at all levels of college football, is going to be affected over the next few years with this shutdown of recruiting, basically.
Yeah, it's been, if you remember, things started kind of going a little bit crazy with the pandemic in March of last year. That's when, not just sports, but things were just starting to get kind of shut down and scaled back. And so that's pretty much when the dead period started. So we're basically approaching it. It's been about a year. And it's tough because, you can't go out. And you mentioned some of these guys, the guy that maybe his junior year, he's only getting looks at MAC schools. And then the summer before his senior year, he goes to some camps and maybe he's gotten bigger, maybe he's gotten faster, whatever it is, and he kind of blows up. And, those guys, the guys like that are missing out on these opportunities. And, right now the dead period's been extended to the end of May. Camps are usually in June. So hopefully, and obviously there were no camps last year, they were all canceled. Hopefully that's the end of the dead period, because, June's a big month for a lot of guys. Like you mentioned, the really top-tier guys. You talk about a guy here in state, Caden Curry, Center Grove. This doesn't really impact him. He's a 4 or 5-star recruit. He's got tons of offers. A guy like him's not going to be impacted. But a guy who maybe there's another guy at Center Grove who's like a 3-star, but he might get some Big Ten offers if he can go to camps. That's a big deal. And this shutdown, it does hurt Indiana. Even with the success they've had, one of their big recruiting pitches, one of their things they sell is, a family atmosphere, the LEO. You're part of a brotherhood. And I'm not saying they're the only program that sells that, but obviously – LEO is the obviously it is the slogan for Indiana football, and it's hard to get that across in a Zoom call or a FaceTime call or a virtual tour. You really need to be in person with somebody, get them around the coaches, all the players, the different staff members, the strength coaches and all that, for them to get a feel for what it's like to be at Indiana. And they're doing the best they can, like all schools are, but it is tough, and it's made it harder. I think Indiana for this class would already have a handful of commitments if we didn't have this shutdown. I think some guys are waiting because they haven't been able to make visits, and that's hurting schools like Indiana, probably more so than, like you mentioned, in Ohio State or in Alabama or some of those bigger schools where, kids are going to commit because of the tradition and the success.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, talking IU football here in this closing segment on Thursday. If things continue with coronavirus as far as vaccinations and positive numbers, positive as in moving in the right direction, I think we could be on course for a normal or somewhat very normal college football season in the fall. No more conference-only schedule, no more delay to start the season, no more odd situations where a team is without key players or loses a number of players because of positive coronavirus cases or contact tracing. And most importantly, when I think about things from an IU football perspective, with the excitement that surrounds this program right now, fans so very much want to be at some of those big games. And, of course, going to the game, a big tradition, a big part of that, no matter where you attend a college football game these days, is the tailgating that takes place in advance of the game. And that's something that, despite Indiana having a record season last year, was lost on fans in that environment for the players by fans being there and creating something special, didn't have the opportunity to exist. And I think had that been allowed in some form or fashion, Indiana fans would have taken full advantage of that, given what IU football looked like on the field last year. It does look like, and I'm sure as preparations are beginning to be made early on, I feel like we've got a good chance to get back to some normalcy there.
Yeah, and IU President Michael McRobbie, I believe, sent out like an email to staff people and IU students that the expectation is that they're going to be full in-person classes in the fall. And I think Jeff Radjohns on our site put up something where the expectation is it's going to be 100%. Like stadiums are going to be 100% open in the fall. Now, I mean, obviously if something, goes haywire, I guess that could change. But like you said, with the way things are trending, you're already seeing nationally, cases are going down and stuff like that, thankfully deaths and people dying from it are going down because it's been awful. But I think these vaccines that are coming out, and it seems like, I know there's like three or four, but there's enough out there and people can get vaccinated and it seems to really be making a difference. And hopefully that continues because, not just for people to go back to games, but just to get back to some normalcy in our society, because it's been tough for everybody and it's been hard on everybody, but this would be a big step. And, Indiana starts the season in Iowa, you go out there and, if you go out there and get a win in Iowa City, it's going to be a tough game, but you come home and Idaho is not a big name opponent in game two. But I think you're going to have a pretty full stadium. And I agree with you. Last year, especially after that Penn State game, I think that Michigan game, I think, was in week three. I think you would have had a packed stadium. I think you had a good crowd. And obviously Indiana delivered a big win, and it's a shame the fans couldn't be there to enjoy it.
Yeah, no question about it. Matt Weaver, my guest, talking some IU football today. Off-season storylines, we've talked about this before. Michael Penix, his recovery, his health, obviously, is something that everyone is going to pay much closer attention to as the season draws near. It sounds like, from the little bit we know and what we've heard from him and Coach Allen in the offseason, that things are going in the right direction. But talk about his importance for next year and obviously how important it is that he's back to full health, and just a couple other things that you're going to be watching as we get closer to the season, because in a few months we'll be in the summer, and once you get to the summer, you really start thinking more about college football and about how these teams are coming together and some of the offseason workouts and camps and practices. So what will you be paying attention to specifically for Indiana?
Well, obviously, Michael Penix is the big story, and it sounds like his rehab's going well, and he fully expects to be out on that field under center when they open September 4th, I believe is the day, at Iowa. And, Jack Tuttle did a nice job last year. He played well in that Maryland game. It was, obviously a kind of a small sample size, and did a nice job against Wisconsin. Had some good moments in the bowl game. I mean, it was a tough game for IU after they had to shut down and a bunch of guys had COVID. But this offense is different with Michael Penix. I don't think that's, saying anything, brilliant. It's just different. It's a more explosive. It's just a different, things you have to defend when he's out on the field as opposed to somebody else. And that's no knock on Jack Tuttle. Michael Penix is just special. I've been saying it for 3 years, and he showed it last year in a number of games. So getting him back will be huge. They start spring ball on Tuesday, and practices, if they're outside, we'll be open to us media. Now, we won't be able to be down on the field, but we'll be able to sit up, I think, up on the hill behind the north end zone and look down at the practice field. So it's better than nothing, and hopefully we'll have some good weather so they can be outside. If they're inside, we will not be allowed to watch. So I'll be watching, how the defense, what it looks like under Coach Warren. I don't think it's going to be drastically different, the new DC, but it'll be interesting to see what maybe tweaks he puts on it. The O-line will be the other thing I'm looking. They brought in a transfer from Michigan, Zach Carpenter, and I think he's going to have a major impact. And then just, kind of seeing how guys look a year later, bigger, stronger. They got a lot of guys back. They didn't lose much. How does Jack Tuttle look? Because he'll be taking the snaps. Obviously, Michael Penix is going to be limited in spring ball. Probably won't be doing any team stuff, maybe just individual drills. And, how does Dexter Williams look? How do some of the guys who've come in mid-year, Jordan Williams and Vinny Fiacable and Josh Sales and
some of these guys, how did that came in mid-year? DJ Matthews, the transfer from Florida State, how do they look, and what kind of impact can they make? So, it's nice that football's getting back. It's nice that hopefully we get to watch some spring practice, and it's a little bit closer to normal, not quite, but I guess, like I said, being up on the hill and being able to watch practice is better than nothing, and I'm hoping we have good weather so they're outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, with us as we talk a little off-season update on IU football. Matt, we'll continue to check back with you. I guess before we do let you go, Big Ten, I think we all know who's going to be at the top of the heap, at least in the preseason rankings, and very likely when the season begins. But your thoughts on – give us a pecking order, an early pecking order of the Big Ten football before we let you go.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think Ohio State still – I mean, they're in a class by themselves, and they'll be the favorite. Even with the losses they had, Justin Fields a major loss, but they recruit phenomenally. They have great talent there. You know, they may take a little bit of a step back offensively, but, you know, even them taking a step back, they'll still be pretty good. You know, I think the number two spot, you can throw, you know, I mean, obviously, I think Penn State will be in there. Indiana, I think, will definitely, they were second this year, and I think Indiana will be right in there. You know, Michigan's the interesting one. They had a bunch of staff changes. I mean, they really overhauled, you know, their a lot of their offensive staff and defensive staff. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. I mean, obviously, Harbaugh's getting a little bit, you know, his back's against the wall, and he had to make changes, and it's going to be interesting to see how they come out. In the West, you know, I think Iowa, Wisconsin are probably the two favorites. You know, Iowa really played well after the first two games. Like, they won six in a row, if I'm not mistaken, five or six in a row. Can't remember the number. In Wisconsin, you know, they were kind of up and down, but, you know, Graham Mertz, that freshman quarterback's really talented, and obviously they have good players, and they'll be good again. So, you know, I think those are the kind of the top two in the West. And, you know, Minnesota, it'll be interesting to see where they're at after the good season 2 years ago. But, you know, I think on the East, you know, like I said, Ohio State's the class. And then Indiana's got as good a chance right there to you know, push them as anybody else in that side of the league.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. You can read his off-season football coverage at the Pigs.com website. And Matt, we'll check in with you throughout the off-season. I know a lot of excitement already brewing for this IU football program.
No problem, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. And that's going to wrap up this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be back at 11 a.m. to finish out the week, and plenty to talk about as we get you ready for sectional basketball over the weekend. We've got a doubleheader coming up at Seymour on Friday evening. Our coverage begins at 5:30. Man, those should be great games. Bedford, New Albany, followed by a rivalry game, Jeffersonville, Floyd Central. Very much looking forward to our coverage on Friday evening, and hope that you can join us for that here on the Big X, and of course streaming and the TuneIn app and all sorts of ways you can join us for our shows and our coverage. Back with you Friday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.